Typically, in the multitude of years past, if I were to speak on a day such as this, I would assign my mind to talk about that. But not very often this happens. Well, you can see the title of my talk on screen. Why did Yahshua come? It'll take me a while through scriptures to get to the major parts, but first, if we look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Paul is speaking here. He's speaking about his past, what he's done. I thank Messiah Yahshua, our Master, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to do his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. I have shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Master was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and the love that are in the Messiah Yahshua. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Messiah Yahshua came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. The first one, the word that is underlined there, blasphemer, comes from the Greek blasphemos. It means how a person treats two different groups of people, one fellow man and secondly the Heavenly Father. In dealing with our fellow men, if one is a blasphemer, he is slanderous, defamatory, while if you use this word against Yahweh, impious, it means that we lack reverence towards him. And this is what Proverbs speaks about, what the word fear means. We are to revere Yahweh, not be afraid of him. Paul, in talking about himself, talks about how he treated Yahweh at the beginning. He reviled the name of the Messiah and opposed him and his cause, not believing that he was the Messiah, and by doing so, he really was guilty of blasphemy. The true Messiah he had, in fact, treated with contempt and reproaches. He really classified his character, and I suppose we could duplicate that. Not could, we should. Okay. The next word, there you go. Have to get used to the injurious. Injurious is a translation of the Greek hobristas. It means malicious, an insulter. And this Greek word only occurs one other time in Romans chapter 1, verse 30. And there it is translated, despiteful. Resources have given me the impression that this word, injurious, has a more powerful meaning than a blasphemer. And the reason they give is that that the meaning of what he did was done because he acted as a proud, haughty, and with an insolent spirit. I hope we never experience such an attitude. The next highlighted letter there is mercy, comes from the Greek Eliehu, meaning to show compassion. Very important that we realize that Yahweh does show us compassion, but we have to do some things, not some things, a lot of things firsthand. We have to show that we are worthy of his mercy. Next word is grace. It comes from the Greek charis, pronunciation, charis, meaning undeserved favor. Paul basically tells us here that no matter how evil we feel a person is, like he felt bad about himself, no matter how one treats others, no matter what one's disposition is, if it is done out of ignorance, which Paul says that he was ignorant of the truth, a mercy can be obtained from higher authority, from Yahweh, thus granting one undeserved favor, even being given a significant position in spreading the truth as Paul was given. So as long as a person becomes repentant and sorry for his past sins, Paul is telling here with this, or relating to Timothy, I guess you must say, that even though a person has a bad background, if he shows a change of heart, then Yahweh is willing to forgive what he has done, and he can also be awarded a position, not only in this life, but in the life to come. The phrase there you see highlighted now, having faith and love in the Messiah Yahshua. If we look at the word faith, it comes from the Greek word pistis. It means to have reliance on Yahshua. Faith, reliance on Yahshua, just like Colossians 3. But most important from this verse, or these verses, is the next phrase. No, next one after this. Trustworthy saying. I just highlight this because this is used in a total of 5 scriptures. Trustworthy saying, other places it is used depending upon the translation as trustworthy statement. Faithful saying, faithful is the word. And the Greek phrase is pistos ho logos. The word pistos means to be trustworthy or to be trustful, depending upon the nature it is used. It is translated from, it comes from a base word, Greek word called pitho, which means to pacify or conciliate by some fair means. Okay. What I believe that that phrase, pistos hos logos, can be viewed as that you can place your faith upon it and that you will not be disappointed. Okay? But of course, whoever is talking, you have to take and consider the person who is saying it. I'm sure that each of us have met people who are two-faced, that they say one thing and do another, even though he says, I'm telling the truth. You have to differentiate what that person is doing and saying. The word ho is just a definite article, meaning, or translated in this case, this. Logos refers to something that is said and quite often is used in reference to Yahshua. So this phrase, pistos ho logos, and excuse me for my French mispronunciation, means to accept something as being true. You just accept it. You don't sit there and question, is that really the truth? You just accept it as being true, and not simply as saying, but as a matter of fact. And what does this say in the next phrase? That this is a trustworthy saying, that we must, what we are told, we must accept by full acceptance, that Yahshua the Messiah came into the world to save sinners. But of course that phrase has to be clarified now, mentioning the scripture that clarifies it, because Yahshua did not come for everyone. He came for the lost tribes of the house of Israel, which the scripture tells us later. There are some others, a total of five scriptures that uses the same phrase, pistos ho logos, with the same type of a meaning. And I am going to go through each of those very quickly. The first one is 1 Timothy 1:15. And what I'm doing now is just pointing out that phrase which says trustworthy, faithful saying. Not necessarily what it said, but we must remember when this phrase and this pistos ho logos is used, that we accept what follows verbatim and not question its truth or falsity. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Messiah Yahshua came into the world to save sinners." That's the one I used at the beginning. "Of whom," this is Paul speaking, "of whom I am chief." To get an explanation of what is meant by to save sinners, we go to Matthew 15, verses 22 through 24. Here we have a foreign, you might say, a woman from Canaan. We read there, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out on the same coast and cried unto Yahshua, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Master, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, 'Send her away, for she crieth after us.' But he answered and said, 'I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" So he clarifies what Paul speaks in 1 Timothy. There's one word in there to talk about, the word crieth. It also appears at the beginning of this verse, or of these verses. The word crieth comes from the Greek kradzo, which means to scream, to cry aloud, to shriek. So I think if we keep this meaning of kradzo and what the word crieth here means, we can understand what that woman really is doing. She has no recourse, no other place to go, but asking Yahweh to heal her daughter. But in this, just prior to what I highlighted, it mentions that the disciples came to Yahshua and told him to send her away. Apparently, if we take the interpretation of that word to mean screaming and shrieking, that she was making a disturbance, which is making the people that were with Yahshua a little bit uncomfortable. But we have to realize if a person has no recourse to do something and they feel at their last end, their actions will be that way. I'm sure we have heard of it, and maybe some may have experienced it themselves. But did Yahshua push her away? In the few verses that follows, we find out that he did not. In fact, from the few verses that follow, she and Yahshua had a conversation, because in verse 28, Yahshua is talking to the woman as a conclusion of the conversation. "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So Yahshua knew the heart of that woman. But we have a story we can find from this communication between the lady from Canaan and Yahshua. Basically means that you do not have to be a born member of the tribe of Israel, house of Israel, because I can't put scripture on, but it talks about a wild olive tree and a good olive tree. The wild olive tree representing everybody who is not on the good olive tree, where the good olive tree refers to those are who are followers and children of Yahweh. So that a person who is not born into the truth and accepts it, they still have a chance of their symbolism of a branch being pruned from the wild olive tree and be pruned into a good olive tree. So remember that. Good thing to remember. The next scripture, which is, makes use of that phrase, 1 Timothy 3:1, using that Greek phrase, truthful saying, reads 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. This is a true statement. If a man desire the office of his bishop, he desireth a good thing or a good work. Again, I bring this out because that's making use of that phrase, truthful saying, true saying, faithful saying, which means that you accept what follows in Scripture as being truth without question. And in 1 Timothy 3, in the next six verses, it explains what the qualifications are of the bishop. So again, this is another scripture using that phrase. The next one, 1 Timothy 4, verse 9, again, faithful saying. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Again, that word acceptation basically means it's approved without question, or should be approved without question. You believe it's true and believe it's utterly favorable. It means to accept something, to embrace it, to receive it with joy and approval as something being very precious and very worthwhile. And the phrase there you see of all acceptation declares that what is stated is absolutely trustworthy. And we should treat it that way. And then Paul continues to the end of chapter 6, talking about things that should be accepted without question. The next statement where that phrase is used is 2 Timothy 2, verse 11. And this one reads, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Very important. In other words, again, this is something we are to accept without question. Paul means that what he is about to say was worthy of our entire belief as being true, and worthy of our profound attention. In other words, pay attention to what's going to be said. It's very important. The object of his sayings in this whole chapter is towards his fellow person, Timothy. The fifth of the sayings, we're using this phrase, faithful saying, truthful saying, is Titus 3, verse 8, which reads, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that you affirm constantly, that they which have believed in Yahweh might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Good works. If we take this out of context, which we better not, it refers to many other things with the good works. It refers to not merely to any acts of kindness or love, but to all that is upright and good, which points to our leading a truthful and righteous and honest life. The phrase there we read, these things are good and profitable unto men, is another way of saying that these doctrines which he has stated were not mere matters of speculation. He wasn't speculating. He was telling us to accept it without question. But they were fitted to promote human happiness, and that they should be constantly taught and not set aside. So again, this phrase, pistos ho logos, means not only something that is said, but it also implies directly the intelligence from which those words came, as expressing something that is important to remember and to act upon. Namely, in the scripture that we first introduced, it talks about that the Messiah came into the world. So, why did Yahshua come? Why he came? Besides being the Savior, there are other some points to remember and to keep at heart. In John 10, verse 10 reads, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Another reason why Yahshua came. Because I think if you ask a man on the street, "Why do you think your Savior came?" she'll say, "He died for us." And they think that that's all that is necessary. But there are many reasons why he came, and John 10:10 specifies another one. He came that we can have life. And that life is referring to when Yahshua returns to set up the kingdom. John 12:46, another reason. John 12:46 reads, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Nobody can really walk around in darkness too carefully. Your steps are short and quick, and very likely you'll start bumping into things. And that will happen to mankind if they don't take the light that Yahshua provides by his symbolism of being or coming as a light. We will bump into some hardships. I'm sure we all knows, or you all know and recognize what is implied by that. John 18:37 reads, "Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Yahshua answered, Thou sayest that I am king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." So he came, and he will be king. So that inscription that they placed on the stake, "King of the Jews," the word "king," he will be king and attain the kingdom that Yahweh will set up when Yahshua returns. Okay, examining that word from logos again, the use of this, that phrase, pistos, ho, logos, truth, truthful saying, faithful saying, trustworthy saying, the Holy Spirit could have implied, not implied, but to directed Paul to use some other words. I saw some words, rima and laleia, which basically is interpreted as the utterance, the words that are said, not the meaning behind. But he chose that phrase, pistos ho logos, to use to imply and to state emphatically that whatever follows is of uttermost, strictly high priority, importance to remember. Okay. Going back to some of the scriptures I looked at before, 1 Timothy 1:15 reads, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that the Messiah Yahshua came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So I'm just going through some of the important scriptures to keep in mind. Matthew 15:24. But he, meaning Yahshua, but Yahshua answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. John 10:10. Again, a scripture I mentioned before, but to signify the importance. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Very important things to remember. John 18:37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Yahshua answered, Thou sayest that I am king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth hears my voice. Hears my voice. As of the events memorialized night before last, that Yahshua came into the world to do many things, but I guess I can put it at one of the top things is that he shed his blood. And the reason that is of importance that he shed his blood, we find from Hebrews 9:22 that the second covenant came into being because blood is required for a covenant. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So sins cannot be shed from our past lives without a blood sacrifice. In the Old Testament times, they had to take the animal sacrifices to the tabernacle to offer as a sacrifice and to willingly kill that animal themselves. But Yahweh gave his son to mankind, as we said, because sin requires a penalty to be paid, and the penalty of sin is death. And that's what Yahshua provided for us, is the death that is required to remit our sins. The Son of Man cannot be or could not be expiated, blotted out or atoned, without the shedding of blood. He gave his position that he was assigned at the very beginning of existence. He gave up that position to come to this world to sacrifice his life, to shed his blood. Because he knew, and because he knew no sin, his sacrifice was accepted. He was raised from the grave. He returned to the heavens to sit on the right hand of Yahweh, waiting for the time when he will again return to earth to set up the kingdom. But our purpose at this time for us is that we must first attempt to be and try to be and show forth the greatest effort to be a first fruit, so that when Yahshua comes, that he will let us remain with him in the kingdom. So we should at this time make our search, our goal of attaining this afterlife with Yahshua, as our highest and hardest to do priority. Hallelujah.